So my mom asked me the difference or similarities or relationship between shame and disappointment. And I had to ask, what kind of disappointment? Fear of disappointing others, disappointing the self. Regardless of what she meant, I do see a connection between the two. Why I asked, I don't know. If we're fearful of disappointing ourselves, where does that come from? It's a lack of compassion towards our humanness. It's a lack of honoring our humility, honoring our humanness. When we are disappointing ourselves or we are disappointed in ourselves, I find it so important to look at things phonetically, the way that they sound. Disappointing. When we appoint something, we can appoint somebody to have a certain job or a certain role, and if they don't do that role, then they fail. Disappointed is to take someone down. And this is where shame comes in, because we end up becoming these humans, these beings, these machines that, when we make a mistake, we are disappointed in ourselves. When we fail, we are disappointed in ourselves. And so we take ourselves down from who we thought we were, instead of honoring our humility, instead of embracing our humility, knowing that, no, we're not perfect. We're not here to be perfect. We are perfectly imperfect as we are ourselves in each moment. And within each moment, it's perfect. And that's the paradox, I suppose, is that nothing is perfect, and in that imperfection, everything's perfect. And so when we are disappointed in ourselves, or a moment, or a person, we are offering shame to the situation when we could be offering compassion and humility. Instead of seeing ourselves and being disappointed and judging ourselves by way of, I'm disappointed in the way things turned out, or I'm disappointed in me, or I'm disappointed in you. That is offering an air of judgment and an air of shame, when we could come from love and say, I see your humanness in this moment. How do you want to do it in the future? Because maybe you didn't do it the way that you wanted to, whether we're speaking to ourselves or another person, or like I'm sitting in the forest and I speak to the forest sometimes, all the time. And I'll talk to the forest about moments where I'm feeling disappointed. I'm disappointed in this moment. I was hoping this moment would be something that it's something different. Instead of saying, hey, I see the humanness and realness in this moment. And in the future, I'm really going to want to do things in this way instead. I want to do things a little bit differently, because that would feel better and that would feel more in alignment. Now, do you see the difference in how that feels and sounds in the body? We close our eyes for a moment and we say, I'm disappointed in myself, right? If we make a mistake, let's say we get emotional with our partner and we say something in the heat of the moment and we're upset with ourselves, and we say, oh, you're just awful, or whatever it is that we say. And then we go for a walk and we reflect inwards and we're like, wow, I'm really disappointed in how I acted. That's not what I meant. Versus, wow, that was really human of me, and I love myself in that. I love my partner in that, and I want to show up next time with more sacred curiosity, with more compassion. I want to show up differently. And like, do you feel the difference in how that sounds and feels? I didn't change the tone of my voice. I didn't shift the speed at which I spoke. I just changed the words, and they feel different. And this is the power of the words that we choose to use and how we choose to frame things. This is why I don't say words like should and can't, and what's the other word I'm not really using? Try, I don't use try. And there's another word. I do my best not to say things in the negative, so, you know, I don't want to forget this. I'll say I want to remember this instead. And interesting. There are certain words that I choose not to use. Morning. I choose not to say good morning. Sometimes I do. More often, I say grand rising, and that's where we want to really look at our phonetics, right? When we think about the way that we phonetically say something, that changes how we receive it. Words carry vibrations. Words, right, are, we spell words. Words are spells, right? That's why it's called spelling. That's why when we spell something out, when we, the words that we use make a difference. And so shame, as I'm sure you've heard me speak about, lives in the skin and the liver and even the gallbladder at times, and it, primarily the solar plexus and the face. Even the face reveals so much shame that we carry in a lot of ways. It can also be very anchored in the root chakra. It really, I mean, it can be anchored in a lot of different places. The sacral, like, it's typically the lower three. Most often than not, though, I would say it's the solar plexus because it has to do with the self. If we were shamed a lot by our parents or as a kid and we're afraid of that, then it's going to be more anchored in the root. There are some things like, you know, defecating, like pooping and peeing and all of that, that have been shamed and closeted and behind closed doors. And so there can be shame around that. There can be sexual shame. That's very, you know, Christianity has done a very good job of creating a lot of that, creating a group of people that that hold a lot of sexual shame and trauma around that. And that's carried out throughout the Western world, many other places as well. I mean, shame just exists everywhere. And disappointment is another one of those weighted things that I feel very much in my heart, actually. And disappointment, fear of disappointing others, fear of disappointing the world, you know, all of these things, it's rooted in ego and it's preventing us from being who we are. And shame is the same thing. Shame makes us either actively reject or show up very overtly as someone that we're not. So we can be fearful of disappointing ourselves or others and completely change our behavior, who we are, how we are. And it's placing the importance of perception over embodiment, right? It's placing the importance over how did somebody perceive me over what did that feel like in my body? Am I happy with how that felt in my body? And it's changing that. So embodiment is a word that is used a lot in the spiritual community. It's a great word. It's a word, though, that I would say is used in a very flighty, ungrounded sort of way, which is ironic because embodiment is the most grounded thing we can do. And so this is where, you know, disappointment and shame, like, what does that feel like in the body? Where is that in the body? Like, feel it, be with it. What is that in the body? So this is where, you know, disappointment, shame, sometimes unhealthy guilt, worthiness, a lot of it is anchored in external experiences, in other people, in the way that we're perceived or the way that a situation unfolds. So if I launch a program, which I've done, and nobody signs up, which has happened a lot, if that happens, when that happens, and I feel overwhelmed with shame and guilt and unworthiness and I'm not good enough in all of these beliefs, I'm a failure, I suck, I'm not going to be able to feed myself, I can't pay rent, like all of these thoughts come up, all of these fears come up, and that creates a lack of embodiment. It creates me anchoring my value in something other than what it feels to me, like what I feel like. And when that happens, it's important to bring it back to the body, to bring it back to the soul, to bring it back to prayer. Like, what does this feel like for you, right? Allowing your worth and your value and your capacity to love yourself to be in something and anchored in something beyond what people perceive you as or beyond an outcome, because that's not who you are. And oftentimes, in my experience with this example, when I've done a program and nobody signed up, that brought up a lot of worthiness blocks, a lot of sadness, a lot of shame. And it forced me to look at my stuff. Be like, hey, why are you still anchored in the way that somebody's perceiving you? You know you're good. You're fine. Like, this isn't about you. This is something else. Don't make this about you. How do you feel? What's your embodiment right now? Can you stand in your embodiment in who you know you are? Right? Stick with your practices. Stick with all of these things. And it can be really difficult because in this world, everything is anchored in separation, which is in the way that we're perceived. Right? It's once again anchored in that we are not one with this moment. Whether this moment is with another person or this moment is in the trees or this moment is whatever this moment is, the room that you're in or the forest that you're in or whatever, wherever you are. This is why embodiment practices are so important, to be in the body. Right? The body holds wisdom. Right? The body is the physical manifestation of the soul. Be in the body. And let your body be in the soul of you. And that is where I will leave this voice note, this podcast, this message, this thought process. This rambling, that is where I'll leave this today, on the topic of judgment and on the topic, not judgment, what was I talking about? On the topic of shame and disappointment, because it is anchored in judgment. So keep in mind, keep in heart, keep in body, and keep in soul that shame and disappointment are anchored in fear and pain and separation. And compassion and humility and love are anchored in union and love and connection and oneness. And that is what you are. That is why it's important to connect with oneness, because that is truth. That is truth. Thank you for listening to another version of yourself. And I appreciate another version of me taking the time to listen so we can heal and grow together. Love you.